Well, if you brought your Bible, go ahead and open it up to Romans chapter 12. And if you didn't bring a Bible, it's all right. You can just borrow one from the pew in front of you. There should be plenty to borrow this morning. Everybody could have two if you want. It's Family Sunday once again, so our kids are going to stay with us. Those who would ordinarily be teaching our team and our kids' classes are going to stay with us. And I have a couple of things, because at some point I'm going to need some kid volunteers, in case you're wondering why I got some clothes out of my bag. That's for later. You'll see. Last week we talked about worship. We talked about not holding back any aspect of our lives from serving the Lord. We talked about what it means to be that living sacrifice that we see in Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We see that the only rational response to who Jesus is and what He has done for us is for us to serve Him and to worship Him with all that we are. It's reasonable in light of His mercy. It's reasonable in light of His death and burial and resurrection. This admonition to be renewed begins with how we worship. And it continues, this being renewed, into our understanding. It's to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. The mind is the seat of wisdom. It's where we apply knowledge. It's where we make decisions. As we work through the text last week, as how this being renewed relates to how we worship, this morning we'll work through the text as how it relates to how we make decisions, how we reason, how we can be renewed in wisdom. So what comes to mind when you think of the word wisdom? Anybody?
Solomon.
He was a wise guy. Wait a minute. I didn't mean the mobster, okay? Does anybody think of that wise old owl in the Tootsie Pop commercial? I don't know why. Or some like bearded guru or sage who gives predictable but good advice in movies? Anybody? Do you think of your grandparents who lived long enough to become wise? Where does wisdom come from? What does wisdom do? These are all questions that we should be asking. Wisdom is the ability to make sensible judgments. It's a gift from God, and it's always consistent with His Word. If it's not consistent with His Word, it's not wise. It's the opposite of wise, which is foolishness. Wisdom is how we think. It's in the mind. In Romans 12, 2, Paul moves from dealing with the body and how we worship to the mind and how we think. After all, the mind is the root of all of our problems anyway, because wrong behaving is the result of wrong believing. So, do we need a brain transplant to gain wisdom? Some of us might. Do we need a mind transformation? Do you find that you are being told what to wear and what to think and who to vote for and how to talk and what rules to follow and what rules to break by the world around you? Do you realize that millions of dollars are spent every year just during one football game to influence the way you think? Do you realize that? They don't spend $3 million on a Super Bowl commercial because it's not going to influence you. If advertisements can shape your spending, think of how the enemy might want to shape your thinking. And if we're not aware and if we're not vigilant, in light of the reality that there's this battle going on for our minds right now and how we think, we are likely going to be deceived. Think about the influencers every day, in just our daily lives, the education system, the news, the media, politicians, movies, the television industry, the internet, all of these things are flooding our minds with information, telling us what to think. Some are good. Most are bad. But God gives us minds, and He tells us to apply them. He tells us how to think. He commands us to think and to think for ourselves and to do so biblically. When we can get the mind to think biblically as it should, then the body will behave biblically more often than not. When our minds are renewed and our thinking is informed by the Word of God, do you suppose that the task of being that living sacrifice that we talked about last week would be easier or more difficult? If we could get our minds to think biblically, would you be more or less successful in living a sacrificial life of worship? We'd be more successful, wouldn't we? So how can we be renewed in the mind? How can we begin to think biblically? First of all, we have to recognize that the world is trying to press us into a mold to think how we're told to think. And we have to reject the mold. Last week I introduced you to two Greek words. One translated as transform. That's metamorpho. It means to be dramatically changed into another form. That's what we want. And it's contrasted with this other term. It's sousheimachtizo. It means to be conformed into a pattern. It means to be pressed into a mold. To be shaped by the cookie cutter. We're commanded, do not be conformed. Don't be pressed into the mold. Don't allow the world to squeeze you into the mold that it wants you in terms of how you think. Or not allow the world to press us into what it wants us to be. You see, the world and those who are thinking and behaving is influenced or controlled by the world's values are vastly different from what God's best for us is. It's vastly different from the Lord and His Word. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By show of hands, who thinks that the list of our cultural priorities would look similar to this? The things that you see every day. We must reject the value system that calls evil good and calls good evil. We must reject being pressed into worldly patterns. We are called as the people of God to be different. You are called to be different. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell with them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore come out from among them and separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean and I will receive you. I will be a father to you and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. My friends, the world is in chaos. The wrong behaving that we see all around us is a result of the wrong believing brought on by how the world wants you and I to think. It comes from our bent towards sin. It comes from the enemy roaming around seeking who may devour. We have to change not only what we do, but how we think. We have to be renewed in our minds. So to change how you live requires to change how you think. But even how we think at the mind level, at the wisdom level, as believers, is so much like the world. I need a couple of kids to help me out. Let's see. Cohen, come up here, and Hunter. This is risky. I brought Cohen and Hunter up here. Okay. Now, Hunter, you have a very difficult job because you are going to be playing a character who is not exciting at all. Okay. All right, Hunter. You are a businessman, and your name is Mundane Munson. Mundane Munson goes to work every day at the same job, sits at the same desk in the same cubicle, and eats the same tuna fish sandwich every single day. And he does so for 25 years. On Sunday, he goes to the same church, he sits in the same pew, he listens to the same pastor, and he serves in the same way in ministry. Your turn's coming, sir. Just stand right over there. Very good. Mundane Munson begins to feel a little bit, well, bored and mundane. And one day, Mundane Munson goes to church and his pastor's not there. They have a guest preaching that day. We'll call him Mega Missionary Miller. And Mega Missionary Miller comes and he tells of his missionary work in the jungles of Central America. And he talks about how he's had to chop through the brush with his machete. And he talks how he's had to brave rivers with waterfalls and flesh-eating piranha. And he talks about how he's been able to serve and to tell people about Jesus that are in unreached people groups that have never even heard of the name of Jesus until Mega Missionary Miller arrives. And Mundane Munson is sitting there going, but all I do is my same routine, and I'm entertained when I see this guy live out the Indiana Jones fantasy that I watch in my movies. So here's what happens. Mundane Munson begins to feel more and more mundane, and he begins to long for that adventure. And he finds Missionary Miller's story captivating. He never considered that a person could have that type of adventure and have it be something that the Lord would use. And so he left church and he ate lunch, and later that evening, Mundane Munson heard about a volcano that erupted in Chile. And he saw pictures of impoverished people running from this lava. He's doing an excellent job standing still, isn't he?
Yeah.
This is great. He sees these people running from rivers of lava while their mud huts are basically burning to the ground. And he begins to wonder how believers should respond. Well, Mundane Munson goes back to work on Monday. He sees a brochure that a co-worker had left on the break room table, believe it or not, for the country of Chile. That night, his wife makes chili for dinner. And he looks down and he finds some of the shredded cheese has formed the shape of a cross in his chili bowl. And he's then convinced that God is calling him to be a missionary in Chile. Now, hopefully to you, this sounds ridiculous. But for far too many Christians, this scenario is perfectly good evidence that God has indeed called them. Thanks, guys. How about a round of applause for our models here? Thank you very much, boys. There you go. So then, Mundane Munson decides He's going to be a missionary in Chile. And he goes around the churches and he begins to tell that story. He saw someone talk about missions. He found a pamphlet of the same country where the volcano erupted. There was a cross in his Chile. But does this look like the testimony of the Bible concerning wisdom and decision making? Or does this look like paganism? The pagan way of finding the will of God is this. You must somehow tap into the divine will. You must somehow transcend your human limitations. You must somehow access the mind of God so that you can know what the sovereign Lord of the universe has for you as you follow the breadcrumbs He leaves. That's paganism. Reading tea leaves. Looking for the face of Jesus in your macaroni. That's paganism with Christian perfume on. Outside of Christianity, it looks like this. Fortune telling, horoscopes, transcendental meditation, the idea of emptying your mind, because again, you've got to get in touch with the divine. You've got to get out of your humanness and in touch with the divine. So you have to empty your mind. You have to clear your mind. You have to wait upon divine influence in your empty mind. Often drugs are involved. Marijuana is common in our culture as a method of emptying the mind or entering an altered state of consciousness. Now, in that altered state, you may transcend the human and the physical and tap into something spiritual. But let me caution you, you better be very careful to think that you're getting guidance from God. Because we're told right in here in Scripture, you want to know the will of God, you need to apply the renewed mind He's giving you. Not turn it off. This is what we look like when we reason as believers according to worldly thinking. Let's take a look at a video.
Make you stronger on the inside.
Good to know.
The Bible is a light to your path. Metaphorically.
Did you mention that a minute ago?
Is a sword of the Spirit.
I guess I stopped reading after sword.
The Bible works best when read.
Did you hear the caption? The Bible works best when it's read. My friends, the Lord says, apply your mind. Don't empty it. He isn't dropping breadcrumbs to let you know where to go. Mega missionary Miller talks about missions. Volcano. Travel brochure. Chili bowl. Here I am, Lord, send me. This is a mold that we cannot be pressed into. This is a pattern that ignores the clear teaching of Scripture, not to turn off the mind, but to engage it. The mind is a gift from God. And too often, people leave their Bibles closed by their bedside like it's some good luck charm to ward off evil spirits, rather than opening them and reading them and being renewed as the Word of God, accompanied by the Spirit of God, reforms our mind and shapes our thinking to match God's will for us revealed in His Word. So to know the will of God, don't go around the mind go through it. This is also problematic for a second reason. The person who hears this story begins to question their own faith. The story of how I was called to be a missionary in Chile because I had Jesus' face in my macaroni or whatever. Because if that's how God speaks and then it doesn't happen to me, it must mean that God isn't interested in me and I'm just another mundane Munson that God isn't interested in using. But there's really something powerful that we should be using, a word that the Bible uses to describe the mundane Munsons of the world. We should be rejoicing in someone who is a faithful worker. We should be celebrating someone who's consistent in fellowship. We should be calling mundane Munson what the Bible calls him, faithful. There is a distinction between this pagan mind-emptying and what God says. Eastern religion says, meditate. Rastafarians believe you tap into the vine when you do enough drugs. Contemplative prayer has crept into American churchianity like a cancer. Yes, I meant to say churchianity because it's not Christianity. Now, I may shoot a sacred cow for some of you right now. But as a pastor, I have a God-given responsibility to warn you. The number one selling devotional book in America today is based entirely off of mind-emptying meditative prayer that is clearly opposed to the teachings of Scripture. It's a very, very popular book. It's called Jesus Calling. You probably have seen it. Now, it's a very popular book. Maybe you have it, maybe you have never heard of it. I don't care either way. But we have to understand God has given us the mind and we can use it. We don't have to turn off the mind and allow some other person's interpretations of how God is speaking to them in this invisible mist. It sounds like paganism. It's what the author says she's used to come up with what she's written. I'm sorry, I'm just going to take my Bible. Because I know this is the Word of God. I'm going to allow God to speak for Himself. And I'm going to allow God to tell me how to think. I'm going to allow God to tell me how to think about God. And I'm going to allow God to tell me how to think about the world. And I'm going to allow God to tell me how to think about myself. Amen. Instead of someone who has turned off their mind and had some strange, incoherent vision who can eloquently put it to words and sound compelling. We have to reform our minds. We have to reject the mold. We don't think the way the world thinks. Let's reform our minds. We're first commanded, do not be conformed. Do not be pressed into the mold. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Metamorpho. Think of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. Now, a caterpillar and a butterfly really are the same creature, right? So how does the fuzzy, ugly worm become something beautiful that takes flight and soars along effortlessly when all it did for its entire existence was inch along in the dirt? Metamorphosis. Metamorpho. It's transformed. It becomes something else entirely. And that is what God does in us, His people, when we apply the Word of God to our lives, beginning in our mind. He transforms us. Our behavior changes that radically. How we think changes that radically. It's the same Word. We see this contrast similarly in James 3, 13 through 18. Who is wise and has understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. You see the change? Just in that one passage? Evil, sensual, demonic, full of mercy, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Metamorphosis. That's the transformation. This is what God has for each of us. When we accept Christ as Lord, the Holy Spirit begins to indwell us, and He transforms our spirit, and He changes us into children of God, and begins this process of sanctifying us, so that our actions and our attitudes and our behaviors begin to match the inward transformation that He's already accomplished in our souls. But how many of you have noticed this? Your arms don't move involuntarily. Anybody ever notice that? If your arm moves involuntarily, you need to go see a doctor. Okay? It doesn't usually happen. Our flesh does what our minds tell it to do. So if we're going to reform our behavior, we have to reform our minds. It's only when the mind is changed and brought under the power of God that the flesh can be brought under control as well. This is accomplished first in what we talked about last week, surrendering all that we are to the Lord. And then by filling the mind with the Word of God, we begin to renew the mind that was set on default to think and to act like the world. That's the default setting. We don't come from the factory programmed to obey God. Then having our mind nourished by the Word of God, as the Lord transforms us, nourished by the Word of God, here's three things that we must do when making a decision. So we come into the year 2018, we've got New Year's resolutions, we've got decisions that we need to make. Everybody has something, probably to varying degrees, big decisions that they're going to have to make in the next year, maybe 6 months, maybe less. Everybody in the club so far? This is how we make decisions biblically. This is how we reject the mold and reform the mind and think biblically. One, pray for wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. James 1:5. God is bound by His word to give wisdom to those who seek Him. Second, read the Word. Read your Bible. For the Lord gives wisdom from His mouth. Come knowledge and understanding. You want to know where wisdom is? It's in the Word of God. It's the truth spoken from the mouth of God. Read the Word. Third, seek counsel. By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Proverbs 13:10. Seek counsel. Pray for wisdom. Read the Word. Seek counsel. Pray, read the Bible, and ask advice from people who pray and read the Bible. It's really that simple. And if you still don't know what to do, rinse, lather, and repeat. Do it again. And then do it again until God makes it clear how He's leading you. Don't ask just anybody. Seek advice from people who actually pray and read the Bible. Ephesians 4:17-24. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. Do we want to live right there? The futility of our minds? That's the default setting. That's how we come from the factory. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. How smart is the world's wisdom? According to the Bible, it is ignorant. Because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Do you see this pushing off the mold, this rejecting the mold and putting on the new mind informed by the Word of God? What that does? I realize this may seem redundant, but unless we first reject the mold that the world always wants to press us into and deliberately build our mind on the Lord and His Word, we will never experience true renewal in our lives. We might experience behavior modification. We might exchange one destructive habit for a less destructive or more palatable habit. But don't you think we should aim a little higher than that? Didn't Christ die for more than that? Remember where we began. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord. And then we go, well, I've cleaned up my behavior a little bit. We have missed the mark. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be renewed. Jesus died for way more than our having slightly better lives in the world. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. What is it that God would have you do in your life that He cannot equip you to do by your mind being nourished and informed by His Word? What's left when He says, thoroughly equipped for every good work? Well, that's it. That's the whole kit and caboodle, isn't it? That's our whole existence. My friends, there is great joy in the firm foundation of the Word of God. We all want to be renewed, and my Bible says it's by the Word of God that we're made complete. Matthew 7:24-27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who has built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Our world and the wisdom of it are greatly fallen. Our culture and what it values and how it tells you to think is greatly fallen. When we build our lives on Christ, taking Him at His Word, applying it to how we live, applying it to how we think, there is security, there is wisdom. It is a house that though the winds and the floods and the rains come and they beat on that house, it never falls. Now, does that mean the world is going to like the way we make decisions and like what we value? Absolutely not. In fact, if the world likes it, you're probably doing it wrong. They may reject it and call it old-fashioned. They may call it naive. They may call it hateful. For righteousness' sake, you may be called a bigot. You may be called a homophobe. You may be called a prude. You may be called closed-minded. Well, it's pretty silly to be so open-minded your brain falls out. My friends, the Word of God does not change. It doesn't bend to the culture, so let's be renewed this year as the Holy Spirit works to shape us and to change us as we apply our minds to the Word of God. A couple points of application and we'll close. One, turn from worldly living and thinking. Deliberately, turn away from it. The world says think this, process information like this, value this, reject it. Don't be conformed to it. Be deliberate in that. It's a deliberate action of shunning that value system and saying, no, that's not how I'm going to form my decisions. I'm not going to think things through the court of public opinion and go with the party line because I want to be popular or liked in culture. That won't work. I mean, you may be liked in culture, but we've seen the foolishness of it. Second, trust the Lord and His Word. So we have this, I'm turning from something and I'm turning to something. I'm taking God at His Word. The whole world can think it's vile. The whole world can think it's foolish. But I'm going to take God at His Word and I'm going to build my life on it. When He says something is righteousness, I'm going to call it righteousness. When He says something is sin, I'm going to call it sin. When He says live this way, I am going to seek Him with all that I have and all that I am and endeavor to live my life that way. And when I fail and when I fall, I'm going to rest in the mercy of Jesus Christ who picks me up and loves me because He already went to the cross for all the times that I've blown it, and I'm going to rest in Him to renew me. Let's close in prayer.